after the Rams won yesterday, and now the 49ers are in last place in the NFC West, just like that. So it makes Sunday's game that much bigger for the 49ers as the Rams are getting healthier with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. They win 30-20. They play the Seattle Seahawks next Sunday. They look like they're about to go on a second-half surge here. So Thursday night football was fascinating as the Vikings drop another one. You see Justin Jefferson slam the helmet. But Shasky, good morning and good to see you live here in the studio. All the technology in the world. I want to say billion-dollar corporations, but sometimes I feel like it's a trillion-dollar corporation. All the technology in the world, we can't get a face mask call, right? We can't get replay assist to say, hey, that was a face mask. Let's get to 15.
Very rarely do you actually see a player show so much remorse for grabbing the face. He immediately, right. The guy for the Rams who face masked Darnold. I didn't care one way or the other who won. Like, I know there's ramifications for the Niners, but like, ramifications, that's interesting. But point being is that I didn't really care. Like, honestly, it didn't matter to me one way or the other. I think the Niners just need to handle business, right? Now, I get the whole NFC West thing. The guy literally went, oh no, what did I do? And grabbed his own helmet, was like, what did I do? Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't understand. What's the point of the eye in the sky thing that I've seen multiple times this year?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, and it's not subjective like a hold. It's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Darnold could have been hurt. I don't even care. Like, again, I'm not some Darnold fanboy. Right. I don't care one way or the other. Thought he played really well. He got hurt. He was literally tackled and ripped back. That is the definition of tackling someone by the face mask. It made no sense. Do I think they were going to win the game?
Probably not.
But you're taking it out of their hands and you're ending it. And then this opens up as a non-gambler. I ask if you are a gambler on that game, if you have fantasy implications on that game, you kind of got screwed.
Yeah, the over-under in that game was 46.5, so it was already hitting the over. Minnesota was -2.5. So you maybe had a last ditch effort to, you know, hey, maybe they're going to go 97, 98 yards to tie the football game up because they needed a 2-point conversion. But you took it right out of their heads. Everybody's crazy. You see Justin Jefferson slam his helmet. He went crazy. Kevin O'Connor, the head coach of the Vikings, I think he's got to show more emotion. He'd throw a headset, something. Because that's just ridiculous.
Well, here's the problem in that situation.
The referee's looking right at him.
Well, but here's the problem. If you're the head coach, nothing's going to change. Like, they can't fix it. And that's the problem that I have with some of the rules when it comes to challenges. Right. Well, you can't. If me on my couch has seen 17 replays in 10 seconds, and you and I can both say, clear face mask penalty, we've got to fix the rules so that you can change this. I don't understand what we're doing.
No doubt. Here's Kevin O'Connor on the play.
You know, it looked like he got a pretty good amount of face mask there. Not going to get into the call or no call and all that stuff. It's just, I told our team, officiating and all that stuff, like, for us to talk about that, for us to seek comfort in that is not how we're going to respond to this. It's just not going to happen. And I'm going to do the same thing right now. I really don't have a comment on whether it looked like he got a piece of the face mask, but they didn't think so. So they didn't throw the flag.
All right, that's Kevin O'Connor. Here's what Sam Darnold had to say.
Darnold, look out.
Excuse me, my bad. That was just a face mask call. My bad. I thought it was post-game sound. Sam Darnold probably didn't speak. He probably was ticked off because, look, we got matching New York hats. As the World Series starts today, game number one, Dodgers-Yankees. Let's go, Yankees. My Yankees looking to get their 28th pennant, baby. 28th World Series, I just say. The Yankees. But back to that game. The face mask call itself, the Rams dominated. They're getting healthy, and all the rumors about Cooper Kupp being traded, Sean McVay says right after the game, that's not happening anymore. That's not happening anymore. And you think about this Rams team. A lot of people picked them to win the NFC West this season. They start off the season losing to Detroit in overtime, Sunday Night Football. They drop to 0-2. They're all beat up. They have a desperation game against the 49ers. Nobody's playing, and they get life after getting smoked by the Arizona Cardinals. They still won against the Niners. They lose a couple more to Green Bay. They lose to Chicago. And it's like all the Rams. Maybe we could put them in our rearview mirror. But all of a sudden, they get 2 wins in 5 days. 2 wins in 5 days. And this is why you can't mess around with games in the NFL. They will come back to bite you in the ass if you're the 49ers. And now instead of being 5-2, you're 3-4. Basically playing for your season.
I would like to have a Matt Stafford conversation right now. I was wrong. I'm going to say that on the front end. As a long time, I'm going back to Georgia Tech. I mean, like, Dyer as the running back.
You mean Georgia Bulldogs?
No, I'm going back to Calvin Johnson. I have been a Calvin Johnson truther since day one. And so I always had him in fantasy. It would be me and my boy Della. I would try to fight to overdraft him every single year, even though for many years he was at the top of the draft. So I've always been a Calvin Johnson truther. And I've always kind of looked at Matt Stafford with a side eye. Knew that he put up great fantasy numbers, but it was like, ah. And you know what? I dramatically underrated how great this guy is. I just did. And I did not want the 49ers to make the move for him. I thought he was too old. He was 33 years old when the Rams made the trade for him. And part of this is that Detroit had a guy who was in L.A. who liked Goff and wanted Goff maybe a little more than maybe they wanted Jimmy Garoppolo. So that I can't speak to. But in terms of the Niners being aggressive, if Tom Brady is 1A, one of the great regrets via free agency trades, etc., the second one is Stafford. Like, B, I'm now
in
convinced.
In the Shanahan era, is Stafford?
Well, in terms of like a trade or a free agency that they could have made for quarterback. Yep. Like, if Brady's 1A, like, not far behind him is Stafford. Stafford's mobile. He is very much more cerebral than I gave him credit for. He is such a good leader behind a porous offensive line. He does a great job to kind of do the audibles and the checks at the line to be able to keep the blitz from pressuring him. His arm is unbelievable.
It is.
Does he throw it up? Yeah, he does throw it up from time to time. Bonte, I'm just looking at his raw numbers since he's gotten to the Rams, and he's had some injury seasons. 33 years old in 2021, year one, 12-5, 41 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, nearly 5,000 yards, with the second greatest playoff performance from a thrower ever. He went 4-0, 70% completion, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, averaged 300 yards a game with a 108 quarterback rating. He had 2 in the NFC and Super Bowl fourth quarter comebacks, and one of them was against our Niners. It's hard for me to sit here and say that the Niners didn't blow that. And I, in real time, did not want Stafford. I was wrong. He's really good. I underrated him. Matt Stafford, I apologize.
Matt Stafford, you know, you think about it, and there's some friction with him and McVay, whether or not he was going to get a contract extension. The play to Cooper Kupp where he ducks under a sack and he makes something happen out of the pocket and finds Cooper Kupp in the back of the end zone. I think what I underrated with Matthew Stafford, because I would have him in fantasy, which is why I didn't want him as a Niners quarterback. I'm like, dude, he's a stat patter.
Yeah,
I don't want him.
I agree with that.
And I wanted, my mind was fixated on Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
That's just where I was at right there. Now, things happen with Deshaun Watson. You back off of that. But the fact that Shanahan said, hey, let me get back to you. Let me get back to Detroit. And McVay came in and scooped in while they're all in Cabo. And they go meet up for dinner. He's like, wow, you got Matthew Stafford. I did not think any of it. I didn't think the Niners. And for that matter, the Niners have beat the Rams up. They had won 9-10. But the one game they lost was in that NFC Championship game. And he didn't lead a fourth quarter comeback after throwing one up to Jaworski Tart. But I think what I underrated with Matthew Stafford is his toughness. Because in that Detroit game last year, the wild card game, he got beat up hit after hit after hit after hit. And he just kept getting up off the turf. And I said, you want to know what? This guy's tougher than I thought. And then you see him last night. You see him this season. Hell, we saw him in week 3 down at SoFi Stadium. They had no business winning that football game. He's got no Puka. He's got no Cooper Kupp. Kyron Williams is not getting anything on the ground. And yet they just kept battling and battling and battling. And Matt Stafford, he can hit the check down, the intermediate stuff. And then if you don't pay attention, he will go over the top and throw that deep ball on you. And he had Tutu Atwell going down the sideline. His recognition on who's out there, what the formations are, getting the Rams into the right check. Matthew Stafford's balling, man. And you know what? I'm a little concerned about the Rams now. I am. Because that's a big-time win for them. Thursday night football against the Minnesota Vikings. And all of a sudden, the Vikings are falling back to the pack. Look, this NFC is wide open, folks. It is wide open. That's why it's imperative for the Niners to win on Sunday. They've got to win on Sunday to stabilize their season and get back in the mix of the NFC West.
You know, it's interesting. Like, we talk so much about quarterbacks. How much is a quarterback worth, right? At the end of the day, I think I'm coming down to this. It's not always going to be the case, but like, do I think you could throw your team from behind and put them on your back?
Yeah.
When the chips are against you. And I think that that's the way I'm now. Like, are you one of those guys that I think down 8, 9, 10 points, whatever it is, the ball's in your hand. Do I truly fear that you are going to be able to figure it out and get your team back. Like there are, we talked a lot about Brett Favre and Russell Wilson. They would pull these rabbits out of their hat. Stafford's in that category, right? No doubt. Terms of guys that like definitely when the chips are against him, that dude is going to sling it. Josh Allen, I feel that way. Lamar Jackson, I feel that way. Clearly Patrick Mahomes, I feel that way.
Stafford has some of those crazy comebacks in Detroit. Remember the Cowboy game way back when? He no timeouts, like a minute left, and they throw a bomb to Calvin Johnson, for crying out loud.
Down 17-7 in the fourth quarter. He starts off that fourth quarter with a touchdown pass to Cooper Kupp in the NFC Championship game, then drives for two more field goals. Then it's a Jimmy Garoppolo interception, and the Niners are going home. So, then in the Super Bowl, he has another touchdown in the fourth quarter and another comeback. Like,
so are you saying, it, man. Are you saying, do the 49ers have that quarterback right now? Do the 49ers have that quarterback right now in Brock Purdy?
Can he lead them
back down six in a fourth quarter? Now, you know what? They were down 24-7 to Detroit. It came back at halftime in the NFC Championship game.
Am I being too stuck in the minutia to say it wasn't like a late fourth quarter comeback?
Maybe.
The drive against Green Bay, I thought was more impressive given how bad he played all game to pick it up and make that drive in the rain. Nothing was going right for him. Brock was awesome in that one.
What about the drive against Dallas, divisional route game 2 years ago?
That was a great throw to Kittle. I mean,
third down. Did he have the third down throw to Ayuk?
Everything felt so tight in that game, too. That's it. Yeah.
I mean, but...
No, that's a good one.
But it sounds like you don't want to see more.
Yeah, that's...
You don't know if he's that guy yet.
Am I being too, like, prisoner of the moment?
Well, Jimmy, you know, as much as we disrespect Jimmy, you know, that's a problem. We're going to play some Klay Thompson highlights, and I want us all as a fan base at least to try to respect our legends that have been here in the Bay Area. I got really annoyed yesterday, you know, because it just felt like we're just kicking our legends out the door. I saw it with Kevin Durant. I saw it with Jordan Poole. I saw it with Klay Thompson. See it with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo, we laugh about him as well. But Jimmy Garoppolo was a damn good 49er.
Yeah.
And you know what? Jimmy Garoppolo has some fourth quarter comebacks. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, he did.
He had some late drive, execution, backs against the wall. Let's get in a position to score either a touchdown or a field goal. Now, the problem with the Niners is they've been blowing teams out.
But he didn't have it in the playoffs. And I don't mean to
right.
He was good in the regular season. I think the big differentiator, like Stafford, for example, Stafford, Jimmy, it's like I watched Stafford do it multiple times in the playoffs in that run. Jimmy's fourth quarter is really, in the playoffs, fell short.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all, but they had those leads.
That's true.
Had double-digit leads. So...